This message comes from NPR sponsor Spectrum Business, who understands that small business owners do it all. That's why Spectrum Business provides internet, phone, TV, and mobile packages just for small businesses. Find one that works for you at spectrum.com/business.
Drive-thrus let you stay seated.
Oh, I don't want to have to get out.
And singing in your car while getting your food.
Sir, excuse me, you're number one with the coat.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
All right.
Drive-thrus have been around on the American scene since the mid-20th century, thanks to the rise of American car culture and the highway system. And their dominance is growing. Today, get this, there are an estimated 200,000 drive-thrus nationwide. But what used to sound like this.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
Starting to sound more like this.
Hi, what can I make fresh for you today?
AI chatbots are taking orders at a small but growing percentage of drive-thrus, and that's just one way that innovation is changing what it means to grab and go in your car. Today we're talking about the rising popularity and the controversy around the evolving all-American drive-thru experience. And of course, we're going to be hearing from you.
I have great memories working as a drive-thru attendant at McDonald's and talking to all of the really cute football players from my high school as they came through to order their Mickey D's for the day.
I think all drive-thru should be outlawed. Apparently, we're willing to foul the environment in order to have convenience and address our laziness.
A handful of U.S. towns and cities in America have banned new drive-thrus or are thinking about doing it. Minneapolis did it in 2019, so we'll hear from an official there later on. But first, we want to get to the history of the drive-thru and why Americans keep pulling up for more. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for Jen White. You're listening to the 1A podcast, where we get to the heart of the story. Stay with us. We've got a lot to get to.
This message comes from NPR sponsor FX, presenting Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor FX, presenting Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode's sponsor is PwC, which offers the following message. A robot may not be coming for your job, but competitors are coming for your market share. PwC pairs the right tech with the right solutions to help you gain a competitive edge. Reimagine operations from the cloud. Fuel innovation with responsible AI and detect risks before they become headlines. Human-led and tech-powered. It's all part of the new equation from PwC.
Pulling up to the first window is Adam Chandler. He's a journalist and author of Drive-Thru Dreams, A Journey Through the Heart of America's Fast Food Kingdom. And he joins us from Yonkers, New York. Adam, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Great to have you. And with us from New York City, Jamie Richardson. He's the vice president of White Castle. Jamie, thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be here.
Great to have you both. So, Adam, a growing number of drive-thru restaurants are using AI to take customer orders. How common is this now?
It's not quite as common as you'd think, but it is growing. We're seeing a lot of pilots. We're seeing a lot of interesting experiments going on. And the results so far have been pretty good.
Pretty good in what way?
There's a lot of accuracy, and I'm sure Jamie can speak to this a bit because I know White Castle is doing some interesting stuff with their chatbot. But they've managed to hone in the technology enough to pick up accents, to be bilingual, to customize orders. And generally speaking, they've seen some success. It's obviously far from perfect, but It's more advanced than I think we all thought it would be at this point.
All right, well, we're going to get into AIs at the fast food window. We're going to get into upselling. We're going to get into, of course, employment ethics and who that AI might be taking a job from. But Jamie, first, I got to say to you, researching for this hour, I was surprised to learn that White Castle fries come in more than one size. I didn't expect to find that.
Okay, with appropriate respect for the Beastie Boys, you know. It's still about empowering the people and feeding the souls of Craver generations everywhere.
All right. You can order your fries in more than one size at White Castle. You guys have, as Adam mentioned, an AI bot taking orders about 15 locations across 342 total nationwide. Your AI is called Julia, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Name for Julia Joyce, who Adam actually mentioned in his book, Drive Through Dreams. But Julia was our first hostess, and she specialized in sharing menu suggestions for White Castle. So it seemed like a fun idea to have Julia be the voice of our drive through assistant.
What obstacles have you encountered in putting Julia into the ordering system so far?
I think with anything new, a lot of learning. So early on, Julia wasn't able to listen as intently and wasn't able to get to that order accuracy, which is the piece that our team members love, that we're getting a lot of progress there. And our customers love that too. At least that's what they're telling us so far. So, but you know, like anything, we didn't know how many different ways people ordered their White Castles. So there was a lot of learning. It happened pretty quickly. And happy to say it seems like it's being really, really well received.
Mm-hmm. Adam, Julia handles some of the orders at White Castle for the little burgers and the fries in many sizes. We've encountered in looking at AIs at fast food across America, most of them tend to present as female voices. Is that how it generally goes?
So far, that's what I've seen, and that kind of tracks across different industries where you have assistants or AI chatbots or some kind of artificial figure. For the company, it is oftentimes named for a woman.
Hmm. And the voice presents like a woman. Why do you think that is? I mean, if it's at fast food, I have the answer. For some reason, people believe that if it presents as a female voice, I'm going to spend more money, right?
That's absolutely possible. I'm sure there are a lot of behavioral economists who could dig into the specifics of this. But I think some of it is gendered in a good way, and some of it's gendered probably in a bad way. I think there's a lot of conditioning socially for us to respond as people to suggestions, and that has a gendered component to it. But I don't have a really good answer for it. I wish I did.
Jamie, you want to get in here? You told us about the name Julia, but why did you guys choose a female voice?
You know, as a family-owned business that's been around for 102 years, actually, we were more inspired by the fact we were in love with the history of Julia Joyce, and it felt like a good fit. And so, you know, we partner with SoundHound on this, and we thought about a range of different voices. It's where we landed. It felt the most friendly, and off to a good start.
Jamie, you mentioned a good response at White Castle to putting in the AI. What about the workers? What about the people who work for you, whose job it is to take those orders? Does it take the load off of a worker, or did somebody lose their job?
No, it absolutely is about empowerment. And to set the record straight, at least from a White Castle perspective, we have absolutely not replaced one person with any investment in technology, just like we didn't when we put in new register systems or we put in a new Coca-Cola fountain. So for us, it's something where it allows us to have that heart for hospitality, let that shine a bit more. And we've been certified a great place to work for the third year in a row. We're the only fast food brand that's achieved that. So I think for us, we're really fortunate. You know, more than one in four of our team members have been with us 10 years. And they tell us, because we ask them before we do anything, that anything that takes some of the more challenging parts of the job off the table and lets them concentrate on things like order accuracy and working together behind the counter is a positive.
All right, Adam, well, you visited a Hardee's in Maryland that takes orders using AI.
Thank you for choosing Hardee's. What can we get started for you today?
May I please have a Frisco single with lettuce and a Coke Zero?
Sure.
There's an old bit that we were listening to in the newsroom here of a guy trying to order a double cheeseburger, onion rings, and a large orange drink. It's from back in my childhood, and basically sounds like this sounds a lot better than that.
Just barely. I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than having your order outed. but I'll take it. I'll take it. I was actually trying to stump the chat bot there by adding in lettuce, which isn't part of the normal Frisco burger at Hardee's. Mm. And I also didn't order a combo, which upset the chat bot a little bit, because I ordered two of three items of a combo. And that threw it for a loop, and an employee had to step in and finish the order, which wasn't a problem at all. I actually spoke to her, and she was extremely nice, and I asked her what she thought of the chatbot, and she said it's actually a really huge help. It does take some of the effort of the drive-through, which is a pretty stressful part of the equation when you from my experience speaking with fast food workers, that is actually one of the toughest jobs there is. Mm. So in this way, I think there is a really positive aspect to this.
It is interesting that you were able to sort of confuse it, though, with a slightly off-center order.
Right, right. I mean, I'm always confused when I go to the drive-through lane, so it just feels like it's a nice balance to the universe that I'm able to confuse somebody else.
Well, we got this email from Eric in Texas. Jamie, I think this is for you. The reason any company replaces a human in a customer service role with a robot is to save money, plain and simple. It's not about improving the customer experience. It's about the bottom line. Jamie, what do you think?
Well, if you're going to be in business, you do have to look at the bottom line, but you don't have to do that by cutting people. So for us, it's about we'll do better and be more financially successful if our order accuracy is better, if our customer satisfaction is better. And candidly, the biggest improvement we've made over the past 15 years is in our tremendous loyalty of our team members by continuing to focus on that. So if we take care of our people, then chances are they're going to stick around. So I don't disagree that it's important. At the end of the day, if you want to stay in business, you have to be successful. But the way to do that doesn't require that you not take care of your people and do a good job that way too.
Let's take a quick pause here. When we come back from this short break, we'll get into the environmental impact of all those idling cars in line and where does AI fit into all this. Back with more. Just a moment.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Nearly 7,000 unsigned artists entered the Tiny Desk Contest this year. The judges picked one winner to perform behind the Tiny Desk at NPR's headquarters. And now NPR Music is teaming up with NPR member stations to take the show across the country. Join the fun as the winner travels to 10 cities this summer, including Los Angeles, Brooklyn, and Chicago, for one-of-a-kind concerts with Tiny Desk Contest artists from each location. Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to meet the winner and buy tickets. Then check out the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR. This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, between 2019 and 2022, drive-through traffic rose 30%. Meanwhile, in-person dining at fast food restaurants fell by nearly half. Now, that time was also when we had COVID-19 lockdowns and a hesitancy about dining indoors, but drive-through use stayed high even after in-person dining returned. That's all according to the food research firm Techmonic. Jamie, how much of a bump in drive-through traffic has White Castle seen in recent years?
It's been really interesting because during lockdown, of course, only drive-thrus were open. But we did see that percentage of our sales go from about 70% to closer to 80% these days. But dining rooms are important too. And I think, we're there for people whenever and however they crave. And one of the things really happening in the industry right now is a lot of delivery as well. So remains to be seen how big that becomes or where that stays at over time. But it's always shifting and changing. And the significance of the drive-thru definitely hasn't dissipated.
Mm. Adam, what do you think is the business that's driving? Obviously, we said COVID-19 was a huge part of it. I think in a lot of parts of the economy, the in-person economy in many ways hasn't rebounded to pre-COVID levels. But what do we know about the economy of drive-through? I think if I were running a Burger King, I would love to have just a box that sends everything out for Postmates, everything out for delivery, everything in for drive-through, and not worry about the dining room at all if I could do it.
Right. It is. There's a lot of innovation, a lot of tech driving this movement, and some of it has to do with the apps. A lot of, and I don't mean the appetizers. I mean the apps on your phone for White Castle, for Chick-fil-A, for McDonald's. They're really sophisticated. You're able to customize your orders. You're able to order ahead. And those are things that I think people have gotten used to, and the pandemic kind of locked in those behaviors. So I think that's one big part of it. The technology has gotten better. It's not just AI chatbots. It's also ordering delivery through third-party apps or using the apps themselves of restaurants and being able to do things that you may not have previously done in person. I know I always feel like a jerk when I customize my order because I feel like it's making things more complicated. But if I do it on the app, I feel like I'm somehow saving a step in doing that. So I think that that's part of the experience that carries over into this.
Interesting. You don't want to be that guy sitting there in your car with the window rolled down, like going back and forth, and there's like 19 people behind you.
Exactly. There's a lot of guilt in that moment.
Jamie, do you thrive on that guilt?
No, we're here. If we were writing a rock opera about it, we'd use Bridge Over Troubled Water. We're there to remove the barriers and make it easier.
But you don't have, Jamie, you don't have special orders at White Castle, or do you?
We do. I mean, now and then people will say no onions, and they're steam grilled on a bed of onions, but we can remove the onions, and, there can be extra pickle or, things like that. So certainly people have the ability to customize, but there is an elegance to the menu overall, to your point.
What did you think about what Keith had to say about the fries? The fries are a very important experience. If you dine in, your fries are always crispy because they're hot out of the fryer. You take them right to the seat. If you're in the car, you do have a dilemma because the fries are going to be garbage by the time you get home, let's face it. So in terms of the diner experience, where do you come down on when to eat the fries or how well your fries keep for the drive-through customer?
Somewhere, someday in the future, a Nobel Prize will be awarded for fry portability improvements. But I think everyone's trying to crack the code on that. But they are best eaten fresh, versus they just don't transport as well for anyone, I don't think. But there's a sequence in terms of how to best enjoy your food. And fries they don't hold the heat quite as long, or they get a little wilty. It will be interesting to see the effect of the air fryer because so many more homes have an air fryer. They can give them a little extra love when they get home and have pretty close to restaurant experience.
All right. Well, this is clearly a whole second hour here on 1A. I mean, the air fryer hour is coming for fry quality across America. Jamie, we'll have you back. Adam, we're super focused on fast food drive-through and with good reason, but fast food is not the only place by far that does drive-throughs across America. I mean, funeral homes have drive-through. Liquor stores in the South, I've been to brew-throughs in North Carolina more than once. How wide a range of drive-throughs have you encountered in your adventures?
A lot. I grew up in Texas, which is, very much car-forward in the experience of life there. You drive everywhere. And so in that way, going through the drive-through isn't polarizing or controversial in a way that I think it is in other parts of the country where there's less of that car culture. But, I'm old enough to remember when you used to drop off your film to get your photos processed at a drive-through photo processing place. And this was a shift that kind of happened in the 1980s where combination of two-income households and a crunch for time made it so that convenience became a bigger part of the sort of American experience. And you saw pharmacies and banks, and drive-throughs became the majority of the orders processed in fast food in the 1980s. flipped from being in dining rooms to drive-thrus in the late 1980s. And so you started seeing all of these kind of changes happen culturally. Cup holders became standard in cars in the early 90s. And it really kind of trickles into all sorts of kind of fascinating parts of American culture and the consumer landscape when you think about it.
What is a drive-through funeral home? Really, I think I've heard of it. I've never seen one. And we were talking about it earlier today. And we're like, can you not get out of your car for this? I mean, you know,
I think those are rarer. And there may be fewer of them than they initially started in the late 80s and early 90s as well. But for people who were on the go and wanted to pay their respects really quickly, that was an opportunity. And
respects, you know, you say?
Yeah. Even just a fleeting bit of respect, I suppose. You know, it's...
It's better than none.
I can't explain it. Yeah, I can't explain it, but...
What's the weirdest drive-through concept that you've encountered?
The funeral home kind of takes the cake, I have to say. I have seen, the drive-through liquor stores are fascinating for me just kind of intellectually to grasp with. I'm trying to think of one that stands out.
I think back in the day, you could get a mixed drink in the South at a drive-thru. You didn't have to get a sealed case of beer. You could get a drink.
Right. Absolutely.
In your car.
Yes. I think that's still legal in a couple of states. So we're not through that yet.
Jamie from White Castle, robots are another area of innovation that you guys are putting into restaurants. Tell me about Flippy.
Flippy at the Fryer is a partnership with Miso Robotics. And so Flippy works the inside fry station. And as orders come in, Flippy will prepare the order and get it ready for the team members to package. And we've got Flippy in about 15 restaurants. So, we're still family owned after 103 years, but we're kind of leaning into some new things. And it's been fun and good for us.
So you've got Julia at the drive-out window. You've got Flippy at the Fryer. Jamie, I hear you that these innovations are not designed to replace workers. They're not designed to take anybody's job, and they haven't done so yet. But I also hear you saying that there's automation in multiple parts of the restaurant, and I got to know that eventually somebody isn't working there.
You know, here's what we've encountered so far, and we've been into this about 3 years now. We keep adding people, and anyone in fast food and in the restaurant business who isn't looking for more people probably isn't being completely transparent, because we're trying to find folks all the time. So we're fortunate because we've got a base of people who have been with us many, many years, about 25% of that core. But it's for some a part-time job, or, you know, so there's a fluidity to it. So we really don't see it being something that's going to be detrimental to employment, at least not in our experience.
Well, there definitely is a labor shortage right now. There's no question about that. I guess I wonder 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the line, when we're all still enjoying White Castle, what that's going to look like. But we'll see. Adam, how are robotics being used at other firms besides Flippy at White Castle? Are there other examples?
There is always a fair amount of tinkering going on in the robotics field. And in particular, what we're seeing and what I'm hearing a lot about is just how you can find newer and quicker shortcuts for, you know, a entire industry that's built on speed. So there are things that are kind of being tested and deployed, but, nothing that's really taken to a different, in a different direction from what's already kind of out there right now is, I guess, the best way to say it.
Is it true that the two-way speaker was invented for the drive-thru? Is that where that innovation took place?
Yes. Harry Snyder, the founder of In-N-Out Burger, was in the classic California way. He built a two-way speaker in his garage, and that's how he deployed it for In-N-Out Burger. And when In-N-Out Burger first started, it was drive-thru only. There wasn't a dining room. So, the iconic inside of an In-N-Out Burger with the long lines wasn't part of the equation until later. And that, I think, is part of why people credit In-N-Out with being the first drive-thru. But that is contested, as much fast food history and culinary history is contested.
Huh. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But first, here's a message that we got from one of you.
I've always avoided them because I think they wait too long. And it occurred to me in just the last few weeks that I wondered what would happen if we banned them.
When we return, we'll talk about cities that have taken that step or are considering doing it. And we'll hear from the planning director of Minneapolis, which banned new drive-thrus in 2019. Back with more in just a moment.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're talking about the rising popularity of drive-thrus nationwide, but some of you just are not fans. This is David in Columbia, South Carolina.
Recently, my city has been going through a building boom of drive-thru coffee shops, among other things, and I find them to be quite hostile as someone who likes to walk and ride my bike around town. The traffic going in and out of drive-thrus is often stopped across pedestrian and bike infrastructure, often distracted with mobile app orders, et cetera, et cetera. Generally, drive-thrus are the only late-night food option and often will not allow you to walk or ride your bike through the drive-thru, which is just another way of othering people who choose not to drive or who can't drive.
Now, David, you are not alone there in Columbia, South Carolina, among Americans who notice the detrimental impact of drive-thru in their community. Golden, Colorado is studying what impact a drive-thru ban might have on their city. And in August, the Atlanta City Council voted to prohibit drive-thrus in the pedestrian-friendly Beltline area of the city. They're all following Minneapolis, where new drive-thrus were banned citywide in 2019. The planning director of Minneapolis, Meg McMahon, spoke to us. She explained why the city took that step.
Idling vehicles, particularly those waiting in lines at drive-thru facilities, that they have cause harm on the environment. So they waste gas, it has a negative impact on air quality, and it increases greenhouse gas emissions. And so the city has a very strong climate action policy plan. And so there was really an intent to improve air quality and improve environmental conditions. But additionally, when you're looking at just the space that's needed to accommodate drive-thrus is pretty significant relative to, just a typical parking lot situation, right? So you have to have queuing space for excess vehicles. You have to have additional curb cuts because those vehicles, the way they circulate in the site, they need to get in and out. And all of that creates a negative effect on the environment, on people's experience of the place, on stormwater and ability to manage that stormwater properly, right? So there's a multitude of negative impacts that are caused by the need for all that additional space. And then you've got, lighting and noise and litter that are also negative impacts that we see. And frankly, the city had some contentious neighborhood situations with drive-thrus where folks in real time, we're having some negative effects from living next door or near these places. And I think that was seen as a way to try to mitigate that for everyone.
I mean, I'm sure that the fast food industry, look, it's built on get them in, get them out. They like to do business their way, as they say. What does the balance look like to balance all of these concerns that you're talking about, especially environmental and pedestrian safety, with economic growth and the ability of these businesses to thrive? And I know you want them to hire people. So how does the balance get struck there?
Sure. I mean, I think one thing that we don't prohibit and in fact encourage are curbside pickup opportunities. And so during the pandemic, this came up again. There was a kind of a desire to revisit our drive-through policies and to look at if they were harming businesses and their ability and for people's safety, right, to be able to get the products that they needed in a safe way. And what we found is that curbside pickup, where you have a vehicle that comes in and parks in a designated parking space, many of the negative impacts that are associated with a drive-through don't occur in that case. The vehicle doesn't have to idle like it does in a drive-through situation. You don't need additional curb cuts. It doesn't require additional pavement. And so we specifically within our ordinance are very clear that curbside pickup is not considered within the definition of a drive-through. It's allowed. During the pandemic, our public works department would hood meters on the street to allow for additional space for people to pull up and have curbside pick up and drop off occur. And so I think that's been the way we've tried to find balance with businesses and to really encourage them to utilize those types of services that still meet the needs of the customer without the negative environmental and design impacts that the drive-thrus have.
I got to guess, not to single them out, but I'm going to. I have to. That makes the McDonald's and the Wendy's and the BK's and the whoever else's of the world pretty upset about what's going on in Minneapolis. I mean, this is the way they do business. Have you had a hard time with them?
We haven't. I would say there's been surprisingly little pushback on this ordinance. So we have existing Burger Kings and McDonald's and all of the rest that exist in the community. And I would say so they have operating drive-throughs that they're currently utilizing. And in a lot of cases, it's kind of almost the reverse. You have community members who are upset because those businesses maybe aren't allowing dine-in because of the pandemic and sort of the tail of that. And so they're wanting all the customers to come through a drive-through situation and not opening up their dining rooms. And we have community members who are wanting the city to do something to require them to open up and to allow in seating. We aren't hearing the reverse of folks who are wanting to see more drive-thrus in their community.
That was Meg McMahon, planning director of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Jamie, your reaction to what Megan McMahon in Minneapolis was saying there about their ban. Have you been frustrated at all? You want to do business in Minneapolis and been foiled? And what's your reaction to her concerns, that community's concerns about the environmental and safety impacts of drive-through?
Yeah, well, I think that startlingly, I have a contrarian point of view. I think primarily because of two key groups, our team members and our customers, because they've told us that they crave the convenience of the drive-through. Our team members certainly benefit from that through the jobs we provide. And while on paper, it might seem okay to say, oh, we'll just have everybody come in. As we talked about in the show, that's not reality in terms of people's preference. So maybe our next film should be our own version of It's a Wonderful Life, but imagine a world without a drive-through, what it would look like, because it's something that's become a staple for so many people. And candidly, the tougher thing is, for cities like Minneapolis who make that decision, you don't see the immediate effect because, as indicated, not every drive-through gets closed that's already in operation, but it will dry up quickly as others don't even look to expand or grow. So it gets stagnant real fast. Our thought has always been about hot, tasty, affordable food. That's why we were founded. Our founder believed that you shouldn't have to be elite to have to go to a restaurant. And that's at the base of our metaphysics. That's that's really our primary focus, and providing as much of that as we possibly can.
A little dig at Megan McMahon and the city planners in Minneapolis for maybe being elitist, but that is one city with a new policy, not banning fast food drive-through altogether, but new expansions of drive-through. Existing drive-throughs are there, new ones are not. Adam, your view on what we heard from Minneapolis about a new drive-through ban because of emissions, traffic, and safety, and also Jamie's take on it limiting access, frankly, to working people and cheap, easy food.
Yeah, I hate to be kind of a squish on this, but I agree with both of these perspectives, in part because this conversation needs to be nuanced a little bit. You know, we can point our fingers at something like the fast food industry, but 75% of Americans, at least, commute to work by car. We lack the time and sometimes the money to plan a big meal, to go shopping, to do all the things that you have to do to eat from day to day. And so I think limiting the access to that is troublesome in a lot of ways. And, but yeah, obviously the environmental concerns are huge, but I also think that we probably work too hard and we, rely on cars in ways that, fast food industry is kind of stepping in to fill a gap. That's basically how it was born. It was born of car culture. It was born of the highway system. It was born of the suburbs being built into income households. That's the genesis in a lot of ways of the fast food industry. So, I think it's an effect, not a cause. And we should think more, I don't know, carefully about how we frame it.
Jamie, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle could not have been made without the car. I mean, they go on an adventure, an American adventure in their car, stop at more than one, I think, fast food drive through along the way before they get to their Nirvana, which is your place. Have you encountered, though, any pushback on the environmental end? Have bans or consideration of bans gotten in your way of doing business? Is it something your business has confronted in the real world?
Yeah, I think for us, when we think about where we grow slowly because we're not franchised, we're all family owned. And as a result, we're very selective about those places. So, you know, we're going to lean towards those welcoming communities who want us to be there. So they don't all have to go on a Harold and Kumar style pilgrimage to get to the castle. But and you know, for what it's worth, I'd love to invite Megan to come and visit one of our castles in Minneapolis. I'll meet her there. We can work a drive-through shift together. Be fun. You know, we want to be balanced too, and always leaning into what we can do better for our communities, our environment, and the larger world. But in the meantime, we want to primarily make sure we take care of our customers and our team members.
Well, if that happens, definitely let us know. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us. Absolutely delicious and crispy conversation. Jamie Richardson is the vice president of White Castle. Adam Chandler is journalist and author of Drive Through Dreams, A Journey Through the Heart of America's Fast Food Kingdom. Today's producer was Avery Jessa Chapnick. And this program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington. It is distributed at the window by NPR. I'm Todd Zwillick. Let's talk again soon. This is 1A.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.